Good morning, everyone. Good morning. It's great to see you this morning and to be together on this Sunday as we're now drawing towards the end of Lent with Palm Sunday next week and then Holy Week and Easter coming quickly after that. And as most of you will have realised by now, we've been thinking of Lent as a kind of boot camp this year, a time when we've had the opportunity to invest in getting spiritually fitter so that we can live more and more as God calls us to live and as he enables and empowers us to live. So we've been having this preaching series every other Sunday, focusing on different aspects of our boot camp training based on Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And the three stages of that training are, you can probably tell me now, can't you? Sit, walk, stand. And all of those three are vitally important to us as we live our lives as Christians. And today we come to the last of the three, and we're going to be thinking about standing spiritually, what that means for us, and how we do it. But before we do that, I want to emphasise again how important the order of these three things is. We do all need to learn to stand as Christians, but the sitting and then the walking need to come before that. First and foremost, we all need to know that spiritually we are seated right now in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus because of what God has already done for us, not because of anything we do or anything that we need to do. And that means that we can rest securely in who we are as loved children of God all the time. That is where it all begins, with sitting. That's where our position and our identity come from. It's where we belong and it's who we are. And then from that comes the walking. And that's all about living it out day by day. If you remember, learning to walk with Jesus, it's about learning to walk like Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our daily lives. And if you missed either of sit or walk, you can listen to the talks again on the website, or we can let you have it on CD if that's easier for you, and also the leaflets that went with them. But now this morning, we're going to focus on standing. Actually, someone was saying to me the other day that the order did seem a bit the wrong way round. If you think about it physically, if you start from sitting, you have to stand up first before you can walk, don't you? But then I was thinking about our youngest son, Peter, when he was learning to walk. And he walked ridiculously early. He was only about 8 months or so. That really is early, isn't it? And he was just so determined, I reckon, not to be left behind by his brother and sister. Anyway, way before he could stand up properly without any help, he found a way of kind of launching himself onto his feet and into forward motion. And then he'd lurch around with no real control, kind of ricocheting off the walls and the kitchen cabinets and anything else that would get in his path. He was always covered in bruises. Made me feel dreadful as a mum. He was a bit extreme, but I do think that for many children, when they're learning, they can stay upright to toddle a few steps and then kind of plop down again on their wonderful heavy nappies. But standing still, steadily and securely, is much more challenging, and it comes later. In fact, I was talking to an occupational therapist a while ago, and she was saying that standing still and upright loses a lot of muscles and a lot of skill, and it can be more demanding than walking, especially over a long period of time. And it's that kind of standing that we're thinking about in spiritual terms. Not standing up from sitting, but standing firm and steady and holding our ground. Because if sitting is about our position and our identity with Jesus in the heavenly realms, and walking is about the practical outworking of that here on earth, day by day, standing is about holding our ground confidently, faithfully, and steadily in face of whatever spiritual opposition comes our way. And spiritual opposition does and will come our way because we are in a spiritual battle. And Paul is very clear in the last chapter of Ephesians, in the reading that we just heard, that we need to be aware of the spiritual battle and we need to be prepared. Verse 12 said this: "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." And he writes of resisting the devil's schemes, being ready for when the day of evil comes, and even of the flaming arrows of the evil one. And Paul is saying that we need to be aware of the spiritual dimension, not just the physical or mental or emotional, and to realise that that is where our real struggle lies. Now, in another of Paul's letters, Colossians, in chapter 1, verse 13, Paul says that as Christians, God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. From the moment that we put our faith and our trust in Jesus, we're transferred from one spiritual kingdom to another, from darkness to light, from oppression, death and destruction to freedom, life and salvation. And we belong to Jesus and his kingdom. But there is an enemy who is God's enemy and ours, not a physical enemy, but a spiritual enemy who seeks darkness and destruction. And 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 puts it like this: "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." And our enemy has a vested interest in preventing us from living fully as children of the light and from knowing the glorious freedom that is ours in Jesus. And either directly or indirectly, will try to blind us and deafen us and stop us from knowing who we are in Christ. Stop us from living in God's ways. Stop us from fulfilling his calling on our lives and from bringing his kingdom into the world around us. So how are we supposed to respond to this? Well, firstly, don't be afraid. Because we're never told in the Bible to be afraid of the powers of darkness or the evil one or the spiritual battle that we're in. Alert, yes, but not afraid. Secondly, remember that our God is a great big God. He is incomparable. He's bigger, he's stronger, he's greater than anything. And he has already won the victory in the battle. Everything that was needed to defeat all the powers of darkness and evil was done on the cross. Very soon now, we are going to be travelling together through Holy Week and to the foot of the cross on Good Friday. And we're going to hear those words of Jesus again as he breathed his last breath, saying, "It is finished." A declaration of victory and triumph followed by the resurrection 3 days later. It is finished. It's done. The enemy is defeated. The outcome of the battle is certain. And when Jesus returns one day, the enemy will be utterly wiped out. In the meantime, our struggle is real, but it is in the context of victory already won. Thirdly, and here we come to it, we stand. And it came in our reading from Ephesians four times. Take your stand, stand your ground, stand, and stand firm. So clearly this standing matters. So what I want to do is take a look now at what Paul has to say about how we stand. If you want to be looking at it, it is Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10 onwards. That was page 1177 in the church Bibles, I think. 1177. And straight away, as you look at it, it's clear in verse 10 that we stand in God's mighty strength and power, not our own. And he says there in verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. It's a reminder again of earlier in Ephesians when Paul writes of God's incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. And then again in Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, I pray that God may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. So this life that we are living as Christians and this standing firm is not supposed to be in our strength, but in the mighty power of God at work in us. And in Jesus, who won the victory on the cross, we are more than conquerors. In Romans chapter 8, it puts it like this: if God is for us, who can be against us? In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So, firstly, we look to God and depend on him. Next, we're told to put on the full armour of God. And it's a wonderful, comprehensive picture of a soldier fully prepared for battle. And there's nothing passive about it. It's about being prepared on active duty, ready to fight spiritually whenever the need arises. And it's worth stopping to notice that nearly all of what's described here is defensive. Even the sword can be used as much for defense as for attack. And that's really important because on the whole, in the spiritual battle, the fight is about holding ground, not about taking ground. If you remember, the victory has already been won by Jesus on the cross. Our task is about standing firm against all challenges and holding the ground that is already ours in Jesus. So let's have a little bit of a look at these different pieces of armour that help us to stand firm in faith and hold our ground. So the first item is the belt of truth buckled around our waist, holding everything together. I've had a bit of fun colouring in, you're going to find out as we go through this. It's the child in me. Jesus said, I am the truth, and that you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And this is about knowing the truth of who God is and who we are in Jesus because of what he's done, and therefore living fully and freely as children of the light. And if we don't know or believe the truth, we're going to wobble and be vulnerable to the lies and the deception that can be in our own hearts or can be whispered in our ears. In the Bible, our enemy is called the father of lies and the deceiver. He told the first lie to Eve in the Garden of Eden. And those lies are all around us, even within us. And those lies can bind us up and make us slaves to fear. Things like, you're useless, you're a failure, God doesn't love you, or something else like that. It's a lie, but we have a choice as we choose to buckle this belt of truth around our waist, to choose to believe what God says is true about himself and about us, rather than listening to any other voice that's whispering to us. The fight that we're in, more often, I think, is much more of a truth struggle than a power struggle. And as we get to know the Bible better, and we get to know what God says is true, we can recognise the lies for what they are and stand firm against them. So that's the belt of truth. Then there is the breastplate of righteousness, protecting our hearts. When we come to faith in Jesus, his righteousness becomes our righteousness. We're covered by him and we're made right with God. There is therefore no condemnation for us. And the breastplate of righteousness protects us against any accusations that we might hear or feel that question whether we are really acceptable to God. Believing those accusations will make us crumple. But instead, we can know that we are accepted and forgiven and that we are righteous in God's sight. Yes, we mess up and we do things that are not good and not godly. And it's good and right that we admit those to God and we say sorry to him. But there is no need for shame and there is no room for condemnation with this breastplate of righteousness protecting us. The next item is feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. It's a bit of a mouthful. I always wish it said shoes of something. That would be much easier. But there's something there about this readiness. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and we are united with him. We have peace with God because of Jesus. We have peace with each other in the unity of the Holy Spirit. And we can have the peace of God in our hearts day by day as well. And if we're always ready to be a peacemaker, if we're always ready to live in unity with each other as children of God, if we're always ready to share the good news of Jesus with the other people around us, we'll stay upright and secure on our feet spiritually. On the other hand, if we stir up trouble and disunity, then we're going to stumble and fall, and we're going to cause other people to stumble and fall as well. So being people of peace is going to help us to stand firm. Then we're to take up the shield of faith, with which we can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, Paul says. These flaming arrows might be lies, they might be those kind of accusations that question whether we're worthy or that sort of thing, or temptations in all sorts of forms bombarding our minds and our hearts. And just like if you're going to use a shield well in battle, you need a strong arm and you need to develop skill. I sound like I know what I'm talking about. I've never used a shield in battle, but I reckon you need a strong arm and develop skill. And we as well need to exercise faith. We need to dare to believe the promises of God day by day. Live in a way that relies on him. Share the stories of what God has done. So you stir up faith in ourselves and each other. And when doubts come, learn how to deal with them. And doubts will come because doubt is part of faith in the same way that fear is part of courage. But we need to stop doubt from overwhelming faith and taking control. And throughout the Bible, we see the effect of seeds of doubt being sown into people's minds and hearts. Way back there in the Garden of Eden, when the serpent said to Eve, "Did God really say ... And then also in the temptations of Jesus that we heard in our gospel reading, "If you are the Son of God, if..." I wonder if you recognise that same kind of thing can happen in your own head. Did God really say? Is God really good? Or maybe if you're a Christian, then whatever it might be. And we need to be really honest with ourselves about the doubts that we have, not ashamed or afraid of them, but then also not to entertain them and nurture them so that they become unbelief. Instead, we need to, as it were, hold up the shield of faith and see those doubts in the light of faith. So that's the shield of faith. Then next, there was the helmet of salvation, which covers the part of us, if we're honest, where most of the spiritual struggling takes place, in our minds. And there's that challenging verse in 2 Corinthians that talks about the importance of taking every thought captive in obedience to Christ. And as the battle in our minds continues, the helmet of salvation assures us that we are more than conquerors, and that nothing can separate us from the love of God, and that one day we will be free of all the battling. Finally, then, there is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And in our gospel reading, Jesus defended against every temptation with statements from the word of God. "It is written," he said, "it is written, it is written." Three times he resisted using that sword of the Spirit. And we're told then that the devil left him. And what God has said, his promises and the truth of who he is and who we are in him, are the best spiritual weapons that we have in standing firm. So it's well worth getting to know those things more and more as we live our lives. So there we have our fully equipped soldier. I hope you like his rosy cheeks. He's ready for anything. Now, we could go into all of this so much more, but the main thing, I think, is summed up beautifully in the Message version of this bit of Ephesians, and it puts it like this: take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. And God's word is an indispensable weapon. So we need to put on the full armour of God to stand firm. In addition to that, Paul then goes on to say that we stand firm by praying in the Spirit on all occasions. And that just takes us straight back to our dependence on God and his strength and power. Prayer is an expression of that dependence as we put our faith and our trust in God. And the Spirit in us is the one who enables us to pray. So praying brings to life this whole dynamic of our reliance on God and releases his power in us. And then one final thing, we need to be alert. Oh, that's reminded me of those silly things. Are you alert? I'm alert. Was that a thing we used to have on the wall? Keeping our eyes open to the reality of the spiritual battle that's going on. That's what it's about, ready to respond as necessary. This isn't about becoming obsessed or becoming paranoid. Our focus is always to be on Jesus and all that's found in him, not in the darkness. After all, you don't overcome darkness by focusing on it and trying to kind of push it out. You overcome darkness by switching on the light. But we do need to be alert and aware for what's going on spiritually. Okay, well, yet again, that's been a lot of stuff this morning, and there's a lot to be thinking about, a lot to be training with there. I hope you've all picked up a stand leaflet to take home with you. There's some ideas there that will help you to get into this some more if you can, or you might have some ideas yourself. But as I finish now, I just want to remind you, as the children's song says, our God is a great big God and he holds us in his hand. Nothing, and I mean nothing, can separate us from the love of God. After all, we are seated in the heavenly realms in Christ, spiritually, right now. In him, we are more than conquerors. And I believe that God is in a process of preparing us as his people in this place at this time to live and to minister in a new way. And sitting, walking, and standing are all part of the foundation and the training for that. And there's more to come. We are saints on the move here at All Saints. We're no longer a church of fear. We are a church of God. And we're learning to live in that freedom. And we need to go on learning together what that's like and what that means. this is a time now for boldness for us as God's people here. A time for faith and courage to rise up. We're being called to be bold, to take risks and to discover what it's like to be totally dependent on the empowering of the Holy Spirit. It's all too easy, I think, for us as individuals and as a church to kind of order our lives and our activities in a way that means we don't actually need to rely on God. But this series through Ephesians has shown again and again that we cannot live in the way that God's calling us to live, in a way that's going to bring transformation without his mighty power at work in us. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And when John and I were at the conference a couple of weeks ago or so, God said to us, as a church, we believe, through one of the speakers who was praying with us, "You have seen what you can do, now see what I can do." Now, we are full of expectancy as we're heading towards Easter and then to Pentecost and onwards. It's time for us, wonderful people of God, it's time for us to be stretching out the hand that God has been healing and strengthening over this last year or so, and to see God's blessing flow more and more into Ripley and beyond. We have a mighty big adventure ahead of us as a church if we're up for it. In fact, it's already begun, and it's quite wonderful to be seeing what God is doing. It's going to include buildings, as John has mentioned earlier this morning, but it will be all about the kingdom of God coming and transforming lives. And each of us has a significant part to play. Each of us matters hugely in this. And that's why we've been getting into training in this boot camp Lent. And that's why I'm hoping and I'm praying that you will each be catching something of a sense of hope, a sense of anticipation and expectancy, a hunger for more of God and more of his ways. Because our God is good. Our God is able and our God is willing, and his purposes are greater than anything we can even begin to imagine. Our God really, truly is a great big God, and he holds us in his hand. Alleluia. I'm going to shut up now, but alleluia.